Yeah, let's just pray for Dan before he preaches now. Lord, I just pray that you'll really speak through Dan now as he preaches. I really just ask that everyone here listening will really be touched by this sermon. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, everybody. Please forgive me if I'm squinting and Liz is gone, so it's okay. I'm not wearing my glasses, so sorry about that. If you see me going like this, just know that I'm just trying to see. I'm not like, you know, intensely going crazy. Anyway, we've just had a dramatic reading from the teens, which was great, and Mauricio dragged me in at the last minute, so you saw my poor acting skills. But from the book of Acts. And the book is like really powerful in its recollection of how this faith was kind of really rapidly spreading pretty much exclusively at the time amongst the Jews. But then somehow it managed to jump from then to the Gentiles. And that pretty much explains what we're doing here today, is that jump. And alongside this, you get the sense of the church growing in the way that Jesus foretold it. He said, "You'll be my witnesses from first Jerusalem, then Judea, then to Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth." And it was all started by one person. And does anyone know who this person was or is? Anyone? Any ideas? Who started this kind of wave? No? Aren't you an elder? Huh? No? No? Who? What? There you go. Bang. There, the Holy Spirit. He was responsible for this kind of reverse Tower of Babel effect. Back then, it was a picture of God's judgment. And now here you've got a picture of God's mercy with God's sending his Holy Spirit amongst his believers to witness and to get men to call out to God and repent and turn and trust in Jesus. And that's my first point today, really. In relation to the Holy Spirit, we must think of him as a person and not a force or a, electricity or chakras or whatever it is. I think we can quite easily fall into that trap because of the, when he turns up, it's so powerful. It's everything's, the power is there, basically, the power of God to witness kind of thing. But really, ultimately, at the foundation is the Holy Spirit is a person. Jesus in John 14, 16 to 17, he really introduces the Holy Spirit as a person. He addresses him as he. And he does that specifically because he wants them to know that he is a person and that they should relate to him in that same manner. He says here, there it is, okay, cool. And I will pray the Father and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells in you and will be with you. Sorry, and will be in you even. He is the Spirit of truth. He is the helper. He is the comforter. You know, this is a person we're talking about. Incidentally, I don't know if you talk to a lot of Muslims, but they'll actually use this passage and say that it's talking about the Prophet Muhammad, which clearly it isn't. But in their defense, they recognize that it's talking about a person, and that's the Holy Spirit. So how much more should we relate to the Holy Spirit as a person? And when this person came upon Peter, he was able to preach with boldness, understanding the scriptures, that the prophecy of Joel came to light in his heart and in his mind, and he was able to preach the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. And in our fellowship with the Spirit, we have to acknowledge him as Lord as well. He is just as much God as Jesus and the Father. And that's my second point, that the Holy Spirit is Lord. If we look at 2 Corinthians 3:17, it says, "The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit is, Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." And that's how we must relate to the Holy Spirit. It's really respectably God living inside of us, not just an electricity or a force. This is very much the holiness of God dwelling in us and changing us from the inside. I think it's once we realize this, we might be able to see more lives changed around us and even in our own lives as well. It's certainly working with me. I mean, when I was preparing this, I was really actually quite challenged, and I do such a strong sense of like things just accelerating a little bit more. So again, I can't drive it home more enough. The Holy Spirit is a person and he is Lord. He is God. And it's just here I'm gonna close with a scripture from Titus describing that work that the Holy Spirit does in us. Jesus is definitely Lord over the church. He's Lord, but the Holy Spirit is Lord in the church. And in the same way, Jesus is Lord over us individually, but the Holy Spirit is Lord in us. So I'm just going to read here from Titus 3:3-7. It says, "For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Saviour, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Saviour, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." And that's God working in us. That's the Lord God working in us, his Holy Spirit transforming us and preparing us for his kingdom to enter in. So just, can we get that up in its, yeah. If you just want to read that again in your hearts and just meditate on it. Jonathan, can I just get you to come up and pray for us? And can I get the band, the musicians, to come back, please? That's the end of the message. Nice and short, nice and sweet.
Yeah, Lord, thank you so much for sending us your Holy Spirit to come. I just pray that we'll really accept it into us, Lord.
I'm 2 meters away from everybody, so I'm allowed to take off my mask. We're very excited, slightly nervous, that it's a youth-led service today. So I'm just going to say like the COVID bit, welcome and COVID, and then hand over to our teens. So it's just really, really nice today to see a number of new people. It's amazing to have people that have joined church during our YouTube time, got involved in a home group, and so they've kind of connected there, but they've never actually come to, you know, the kind of meeting of the congregation like this. So it's just so nice to have you all, you know, bringing your mums and your sisters and your friends. So we're just really glad to be here. And we are really looking forward to the last Sunday of July, where we trust that we will not have to wear the masks, do the social distancing, unless that's what people want to do. So we're still conscious that for some people it's kind of a nerve-wracking experience, for others less so. So while we're in here, we're supposed to wear masks. We're supposed to not be singing loudly into our masks. But it's an amazing thing. We are allowed to talk. So as they're singing, do feel free to speak out the words of the songs. It's very powerful, isn't it, as we connect. And then afterwards, when we get outside, we'll have another big kind of catch-up where we can take off our masks and socialize again. So everyone's very welcome. But let's give a big hand to the teens today.
Morning, church. How's everyone doing? Good. It's a nice day, isn't it? So I'm just going to hand the mic to Jonathan, and he's just going to explain what's going to happen today.
Yeah, we're going to do a dramatic reading in a bit, but before that, let's just pray. Lord, thank you for the service that we're able to be here, meet together, Lord. And I just ask in your name for a really good service, that you'll really meet with us, and that we'll just have a really good time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noises, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by believers. They were completely amazed. How can this be? They exclaimed. These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. Here we are, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, the province of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the areas of Libya around Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, and we hear all these people speaking in their own languages about the wonderful things God has done. They stood there amazed and perplexed. What does this mean? They asked each other. But others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, They're just drunk, that's all.
Then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, "Listen carefully, all of you, fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. Make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that. No, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel.
In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit, even on my servants, men and women alike. And they will prophesy, and I will cause wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and clouds of smoke. The sun will become dark and the moon will turn blood red before that great and glorious day of the Lord arrives. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
People of Israel, listen. God publicly endorsed Jesus the Nazarene by doing powerful miracles and wonders and signs through him, as you well know, but God knew what would happen, and his prearranged plan was carried out when Jesus was betrayed. With the help of lawless Gentiles, you nailed him to a cross and killed him, but God released him from the horrors of death and raised him back to life, for death could not keep him in its grip. King David said this about him.
I see that the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. No wonder my heart is glad and my tongues shout his praises. My body rests in hope, for you will not leave my soul among the dead or allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. You have shown me the way of life, and you will fill me with the joy of your presence.
Dear brothers, think about this. You can be sure that the patriarch David wasn't referring to himself, for he died and was buried, and his tomb is still here among us. But he was a prophet, and he knew God had promised him with an oath that one of David's own descendants would sit on his throne. David was looking into the future and speaking of the Messiah's resurrection. He was saying that God would not leave him among the dead or allow his body to rot in the grave. God raised Jesus from the dead, and we are all witnesses of this. Now he is exalted to the place of the highest honor in heaven, at God's right hand. And the Father, as he said promised, gave him the Holy Spirit to pour out upon us, just as you see him here today. For David himself never ascended into heaven, yet he said,
The Lord said to my Lord, Sit in the place of honor at my right hand, until I humble your enemies, making them a footstool under your feet.
So let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Messiah.
Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and to the other apostles, Brothers,
what should we do? Peter replied, Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you, to your children, and to those far away, all of you have been called by the Lord our God.
Then Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all listeners, save yourselves from this crooked generation. Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all.
All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, and to the sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all of the believers met together in the one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshipped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved.
Now it's time for the preschoolers to leave. So if you see, I think it's Sherry. She'll be taking the preschoolers out. So if you just see her.
If Kelechi could come up and do the offerings.
Psalm 96, and in specific verses 1 to 9, how important the theme of giving is. Whether it's giving a present to someone on their birthday, or in our context, the offering, it's really important that when you do decide to give, you're firm in your heart when making that decision. So the red bucket there is where you go to put your offerings in. If you're new, don't feel forced to put anything. If you're giving cash and you're a taxpayer, you can use the gift envelope at the information desk back there. And yeah, for great is the Lord and is most worthy of praise, for Psalm 96 verse 4. We're going to pray now just before the worship. Thank you, Lord, that we were able to just meet again today here, and I just pray that you'll just watch over us and you'll help us and you'll just continue to keep our faith strong. Amen. So it's back to the worship now.
Fantastic. Shall we just say, give God a big thank you for the youth. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. My brother Luke suggested that we might like to just pray for our young people this morning, which would be lovely, wouldn't it? Feel free to sit down, guys, if you want, because we've got to kind of keep the social distancing thing going. But we really appreciate our young people, and we're amazed and so happy with what God is doing amongst them. And we're also very grateful to Dan and Liz and Mauricio and Sandra for the work that they're doing with them. So I think that would be a lovely way to end, wouldn't it? So I'm going to bring this thing over here, and we'll stand at one side, and maybe just, two or three people would just like feel it in their hearts to pray, to bless, just to share what's in their heart for the teenagers. Shall we do that? Okay. So who's going to start? And then just come and form a little line if you want to, just to pray a blessing over our teens and our teenage work. Should we just pray? Just wait on God. Thank you, Lord. Just come if you have a prayer or a word from God.
Father, we thank you for these amazing teenagers who have prepared this service and just shared you with us, Lord. Lord, I thank you that in your word it says, do not let people look down on you because you are young, Lord. And thank you for the way these young people have blessed us this morning with their diligence in your word, Lord. They're pointing us to you, Jesus. And we pray, Lord, as those who are a bit older than them, Lord, that you would bless them, Lord, that we might see them become mighty, mighty men and women of you. Men and women who go on to do extraordinary things for your glory, Lord, that we might see in 10, 15, 20 years and be able to give thanks for what you've done in their lives, Lord. Pray, Jesus, would they know you closely? Would they come to love and adore you and follow you and to follow you with obedience and sacrifice, Lord? We thank you that you love them more dearly than even their parents love them, Lord. We pray that you might stay close to them. Amen.
It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by your Holy Spirit, Father God. And we've just learned today that you are a person. Thank you, Father God, for our young children. Thank you, Lord, for where they're growing, that you said the steps of a righteous man, O Lord, is led by you. And we should bring our children to you, Father God, that when they're older, they'll not depart from it. We bless you for each child, for each teenager that is growing up in the ways of God. May their hearts and their souls just be in awe of you and just in worship of you. Just like you are their maker, you are their creator, you made them in image and likeness, and you made them for a purpose. Pray, Father God, that that purpose which they have been made, oh God, will be fulfilled. That as they grow in the things of God, their peers, those at school, those at college that they associate with that do not know you, they will lead by example. They will follow the ways of the Lord, and they'll lead by example. They will lead, oh God, with integrity and with character and with good attitude. Father God, we give you thanks, we give you praise, we give you glory for what they're able to do today. Now know that, Lord, they're going to do greater things as them we've just heard, and they're going to do things, oh Lord, that will bring glory and honor to your name, and set their friends free, and set their friends free from the lie that the enemy sows in their hearts, that there's a God who loves, there's a God who cares, there's a God who's full of compassion and mercy, oh God, for the lost. We thank you for our young people. You said we should bring them to you, and we bring them to you every day, each one, the babies to the older ones, Father God. We don't hesitate, we don't cease in our prayers for them. Because you know, you said the prayer of a powerful man is righteous and effective. You said that when we prepare, we should pray without ceasing, that we shall see the harvest of what we have prayed for. So we bless and we thank you for these young lives, and we even for points of contact with the other lives that they're going to reach as they journey through faith. We give you thanks, we give you praise, and we give adoration for who you are, our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen, amen, amen and amen.
Thank you, brother.
Lord, we just want to thank you so much for these precious young people. And Father, I want to thank you for this wonderful message that they've shared from Acts 2, this powerful thing that you did when you poured out your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we want to respond to the message they've brought us. We want to say in our own hearts today, Lord, would you fill us in a new way with your Holy Spirit? Amen.
Amen.
And the Lord's just reminded me of the England team in this tournament that we were watching, probably, and how there's a lot of talk about how young some of the players are, and I just felt encouragement from the Lord for all you young guys who serve us today and the others who might not be here today, that you're so needed in the team, you're so essential in the team, in Jesus's church, that you might not have the strength or the wisdom, maturity, but there's players here who have that. There's people here with the experience who've been in many tournaments, been in many trials, but they really need you in the team. They need your speed, your agility, your youthfulness, your energy. You have so much to give, and you are so needed in this team, in God's church. And I pray that as you watch the football later, you'd see that, and you'd see that you're in the starting 11. You are needed here, and we love you, and may the Lord bless you in this season. Amen.
Lord, I want to give you praise and glory to your name. Your church prays to you and glorifies you and worships you, O Lord, just like we read in Acts 2, that the power of your Holy Spirit was such that it could not be contained within our heart, and we had to speak through our words, and you, your Spirit came out, O Lord. And I pray that when these teens read, all the young people in this church read Jeremiah, read Daniel, read the book of Ruth, all these young men and women, Joshua, how the power of your Spirit worked when they were so young, and we forget that they were so young. That same Spirit is the same Spirit that works now in this church, in this lifetime, right now in 2021, O Lord. And I pray that our teens and our youth and our young people see your works and miracles being done, O Lord. They see the sick being healed, O Lord. They see the blind be able to see again. They see those who have lack of faith or no faith at all come to believe in salvation in Jesus, O Lord. I pray, O Lord, that in the hearts of all the young people in our church right now, Lord, the gospel is ingrained right in their heart, O Lord, that wherever conversation they're leading with their friends, wherever they are, O Lord, wherever they are in the schools, wherever they are at work, that it's a natural, Lord, just to come out and praise, worship you, and to share the gospel with others, O Lord, because the whole reason is power, is because there's treasure, there's life in this power, O Lord. There's salvation in the gospel, O Lord, and I pray that there is a reality. Reality is not just something that we have in our mind, but it's something that is real, that they live it, that they see it, that they breathe it, oh Lord. And through the moments of difficulties, for the moments of the valley of the shadow of death, just like David walked as a young man, I pray that these young men and women, oh Lord, when they walk through that valley and that shadow, that they see the salvation and the light, and that they can become those lampstands, oh Lord, they can be the lighthouses around the darkness, around the many schools that we have around London, oh Lord. I pray this and worship you in your name. Amen.
Amen. As I just sat there, the Lord reminded me of David, because it was said of David, he's a man after God's own heart. Father, I thank you for our young people. I thank you for our teenagers. I thank you, Father, that as they journey with you, Father, I thank you that they shall be people that they will say of them, they are called after your own heart. Father, I just thank you for what you're doing in their lives. Lord, I thank you for wisdom for them even as they grow in you. I thank you, Father God, for surrounding them with like-minded people, not people that will draw them away, but people that will bring them closer to you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you that you bless them going out, coming in, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we give you glory. Thank you, Father God, for the word that they have brought us today of your Holy Spirit. Lord, as we think about the word today, Lord, I pray that, you know, we will just look into that word and just grab it and make it reality into our lives. And Lord, I just thank you that, you know, we shall know the truth and the truth will set us free, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Have your way. Have your way in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Fantastic. Thank you, guys. Thank you, team, for organizing it. Thank you, teenagers, for blessing us. We're going to meet again next week. We've got a special speaker next week called David Barham. Some of you will have heard him doing the training. It's strange doing Zoom when we haven't actually met the guy. So you'll see him in the flesh next week. So looking forward to that. So have a great week. And spend some time chatting outside. A big hand for the teenagers again. And I should just say, we should quickly disperse from the hall and do your talking outside.